Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy C. I'm from New York and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, January 21st, 2026. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We are in Bill's story on page 14, the second paragraph that starts, "There were revolutionary and drastic proposals." And we finished that paragraph with, "But his impact on me was sudden and profound." Today's readers are, today we have the 12 Steps, Mary C., 12 Traditions, Susan S.H. Reader of the text is Heidi B. Page 164 is Tony B. And our backup this morning is Christina L. Announcements is Kathy S. Our newcomer greeter is Reva P. And our second hour host is Ken W.H. The reference number for yesterday, Tuesday, January 20th, for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 23,139, that's 23139. And for the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, it's 23,140, that's 23140. Our OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Mary C., come on in, please, and read the 12 steps. Good morning, Mary.
Thank you for your service. My name is Mary C. in Italy, and I'm a compulsive overeater, and here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you, Mary C. I'm now going to ask Susan S.H. to come on in and read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning, Kathy. This is Susan S.H. in St. Mary's, Ohio. A recovered compulsive overeater for today. 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Less problems with money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. I pass.
Thank you so much, Susan. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes, and I will be able to time you this morning. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study in the Big Book. We are in Bill's story. We are on page 14. Second paragraph that starts, these were revolutionary and drastic proposals, ending in that paragraph, but his impact on me was sudden and profound. I'm now going to ask Heidi B. to begin reading for us. Come on in, Heidi.
Good morning, Heidi B. in New York. These were revolutionary and drastic proposals, but the moment I fully accepted them, the effect was electric. There was a sense of victory followed by such a peace and serenity as I had never known. There was utter confidence. I felt lifted up as though the great clean wind of a mountaintop blew through and through. God comes to most men gradually, but his impact on me was sudden and profound. And of course, this paragraph is a description of Bill's white light experience. He had a spiritual experience as opposed to what we think about today as spiritual awakening, which was my experience, which is not sudden. But you know, as I read this, They both have the same impact, and I relate so much to his feelings here. You know, he says that the proposals were revolutionary, drastic, and revolutionary is something that involves or causes a complete or dramatic change. And part of the definition of drastic is that it has a far-reaching effect. And the proposals that he's talking about, we read about yesterday, right? Destruction of self-centeredness, turning in all things to the Father of Light who presides over us all. For me, those were absolutely entirely different from the way I had been living. Suggestion of it was just, it seemed absurd and impossible. But the moment that I opened myself to them, and for me, again, this was slow, so it wasn't fully accepted them in a moment as he did, but opened myself to the idea, the effect was electric for me. Even though it was a slow opening and willingness and it happened sort of gradually, it still felt there was power behind it. He talks about this sense of victory, and maybe I interpreted that or felt in my experience that it was just this growing feeling of hopefulness. And then that peace and serenity, that just coming to a place that I felt like I knew that I was going to be okay and that there was a light at the end of the tunnel. And he says God comes to most men gradually, but his impact on me was sudden and profound. And it was slow for me, but it absolutely was profound. And I think I can't pinpoint it, but I think that there were moments, single moments probably, where there was a pivot, a turning point, that something changed, and that the sequence of all those little pivots and turning points, brought me to a change that is absolutely profound. I guess I'm thinking about what it means to accept these ideas, right? I said before that the destruction of self-centeredness, I had written there ego deflation, right? For me in the moment, as this was all happening, it felt like, well, you're asking me to be someone entirely different. And what I've come
That's
to-
time, Heidi.
Okay, thank you. I'll just wrap up by saying is what I've come to experience is that not that I've been changed from who I was, but that I have been returned to who I was always meant to be. Thank you.
Thank you so much for getting us started, Heidi. Appreciate that. I'm going to take some names for people to share. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Monday or Tuesday on either meeting, we ask that you hold back. I'm now ready to take some names who'd like to share with us.
Rachel B.
Harlan G.
Rick J.
Harlan.
Thank you, Harlan. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Reva.
Sally O.
Thank you, Sally.
Sarah S.
Thank you. I have Rachel, Harlan, Rick J., Reva P., Sally A., Sarah S. Is there anybody else that would like to get in the first lineup?
Christina L.
Thank you, Christina.
Roy C.
Thank you. It sounds like a great lineup. Let's start with Rachel B., followed by Harlan G. Come on in, Rachel.
Good morning. Thank you, everybody, for your service and for being here and for letting me share. I'm just going to just comment briefly. This is a beautiful paragraph. I just love this. And I love this part right here where it says, the moment I fully accepted. And I can really relate to that line, those few words right there. When I fully accepted this, it's alluding to this previous paragraph that was read. When I fully accepted this, my whole life, I just felt like I could never, I was trudging all right, but I could never touch the bottom. I was just this treading water, and I could never touch, and I could never feel anything under my feet, and that's what food did for me. That's what this disease did for me. And when I took that away, that got really loud. There were so many things that got loud all at once. And what I found for me is this line right here, when I fully accepted these principles up here, that the Father of Light who presides over us all, and I could finally touch the bottom again. It was just like this beautiful thing that I could feel the ground under my feet. It was just so beautiful. And anyway, it's a day at a time, and thank you so much for letting me share. Have a great day.
Kathy?
Thank you, Rachel. Sorry about that. Yes, Rachel. Thank you, Rachel. Next up, we have Harlan G., followed by Rick J. Come on in, Harlan.
Okay, Kathy, thank you very much. I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Scottsdale, Arizona. Kathy, don't make your reminder to me gentle because I'm outside. There's cars and trucks, please. It is December the 15th, 1934. Bill entered the hospital on the 11th. He took 2 days to sober up. And on the 14th, he will work what we know today as the first 11 steps. Now there's one step out there still to be considered. And we will read that on Friday when we read the words, "The thought came that there were thousands of alcoholics, and he will spend the rest of his life dedicating his life to bringing this message to the suffering people in the world of addiction. He will have a spiritual experience." Now, he thinks he's gone crazy, and he will call Silkworth in. It's Saturday morning. He thinks he's gone crazy. He thinks maybe he's had an alcoholic hallucination. Silkworth is a good man, and Silkworth will tell him, we'll read this tomorrow, but he will tell him, no, anything is better than what you've had. But Bill's spiritual experience will change the world as we know it. Never again is there no place to go. That's a terrible sentence. Never again is there no place to go. What's wrong with me? Anyway, never again will we be devoid of somewhere to go if we are addicted to a behavior or a substance. Now, God chose Bill Wilson and other drunks like Ebby and Roland. He chose Fitz and all these guys. Why did he choose these people? We don't know. But man, he did a great job. Man, God did a great job, because in choosing Bill, he will choose somebody, he has chosen somebody, to have a spiritual experience. And for the difference between a spiritual experience and spiritual awakening, it's described in Appendix 2, page 467 in the fourth edition. An experience is sudden and profound. An awakening is slow and developing. I've never had a spiritual experience. I've had a spiritual awakening, many of them. But the bottom line is that he chose Bill Wilson. And Bill will never drink again throughout his life. And he will bring comfort. And he will bring the program to millions and millions. And he will live forever. 20,000 generations from now, they will be reading the words we're reading this morning. And it all
took
place.
That's time, Harlan.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you, Kathy, for your service. Bye-bye.
And thank you so much. It's Harlan G. from Arizona. If anyone just joined us, we're in the Big Book, page 14,
second paragraph, their revolutionary and drastic proposals. We're reading that one paragraph. Next up, we have Rick J., followed by Reva P. Come on in, Rick. Tell us where you're from, please.
Thank you, Kathy. Thanks for your service. Good morning, everybody. I'm Rick J. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in North Carolina. You know, it's the language being used here, the experience being described, that gave me true hope. I would listen to people's, you know, share their experiences with how they came to have a relationship with a power greater than themselves, a God of their understanding. And, you know, any time I use the word God now, I always try to remember to put of my understanding. I just know how I was when I came in, and you know, I almost left because of that, and I wouldn't have lasted long. And I shared my spiritual experience not too long ago on the line, and you know, it was an experience for me, but it doesn't have to be, right? Or it could be the awakening and, you know, slowly developing over a period of time. But there's a line, really loved Heidi's share, and you know, Harlan, thank you for yours. Yeah, and in that spiritual experience appendix, there is a line in there which was so true for me. And we all get to this point, you know, it's our own personal journey, and we have the freedom to be able to arrive at this place in our journey. It's personal to us. And the line on page 567, we're gone, a profound alteration in his reaction to life, that such a change could hardly have been brought about by himself alone. You know, and that's exactly how I felt. And whatever way we get there, we get there if we continue this working of connection, you know, releasing the things that block us and connecting to the power that saves us and transforms us. We get to this place. And I love hearing people's experiences and share how they got there. And I still love that. And I love to share mine, because it's just such an important part of, you know, of recovery. Without the power greater than ourselves, there is no recovery. Whatever belief we have, whatever works for us, we eventually arrive to that place that we know that there is a change in us that we couldn't have done on our own. And for me, that's the beautiful spirit of step two. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much. That was Rick J. from North Carolina. Next up, we have Reva P., followed by Sally A. Come on in, Reva.
Good morning. This is Reva P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. Yeah, so this is talking about Bill's spiritual experience. And for me as well, it was more, and it has been more, spiritual awakenings. And what's striking me this morning is, you know, I can have a spiritual experience or a spiritual awakening, but what's coming to me is, in order to sustain this is not a one and done thing. To sustain these experiences or awakenings, I need to keep working the steps. And it's been a pretty challenging week. And I'm just always amazed. Drastic proposals, this whole business of ego reduction, where instead of sitting around trying to figure things out, analyze and figure out, I do the work. I do what he describes, when he didn't realize those were going to become the foundation for the steps. And then I sit quietly. And, you know, when I accept these drastic proposals and practice them, it's, you know, what's drastic? The fighting stops. So to fully accept them means stop the fighting and get quiet and listen. And the utter confidence is when I do the work and and I then sit quietly to hear the guidance. That's true confidence, because it's guided by a higher power and not by me. And I can't describe in words, but I had an experience with a fellow this week, you know, honesty, humility, willingness to do the work, being honest in what I share, and the connection with another fellow, and just quiet in my mind, no more figuring out. And it's super uncomfortable. Still, this 180 degree flip, you know, turning things backwards, it seems, common sense becoming uncommon sense. It's quite counterintuitive still, but it's so miraculous. Not magical, but miraculous, because I still have to do the work. But the work is quite simple. It's like God works with a feather and I work with a hammer. And when I work with a feather, I have more far-reaching and profound impact, because the confidence is based on power and not me. So with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Reva. That was Reva P. from Canada. Next up, we have Sally A. from New York, followed by Sarah S. Come on in, Sally.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you so much for meeting with us. Sounds like you have my cold that I just got over. I'm Sally A., recovered and rescued from the quicksand. So I'm going to just back up one sentence. I must turn, just for context. I must turn. And this speaks to me of step three, made a decision to turn. I must turn. I must change my direction. And then in the paragraph that we're reading this morning, that we're studying like college students, there were revolutionary and drastic proposals. There was a war within me to surrender and let God do the heavy lifting and let God be in control. Let God take the lead. Let God do for me what I could not do for myself. There was a war within me to let go of the control and allow God to be my boss. And drastic proposals, and for me, these drastic proposals equal drastic need. I had such a drastic need for God to do for me what I could not do for myself. The moment I accepted them, and the Lord, my God, knows that it was hard for me to accept that I couldn't do it, that I can't do it one day at a time, that I have to accept that I am powerless, that I'm not enough. In contrast to how many books were written about, you are enough. I'm not enough. I do need to accept God's help. That there was a sense of victory, like a football game where people stand up and they roar because of the victory that they have, that they see for me, and that I have my touchdown experience followed by such a peace and such a serenity, because I have finally surrendered, and I have just the war within me, the revolution within me is made to rest. I felt lifted up as though the great clean wind, that for me is my Holy Spirit, of a mountaintop blew through and through. That's me with complete and utter surrender and peace. And knowledge that God will come to me. And he did come to me when I was 18 in a very strong experience, which would take me 5 minutes to explain at least. I do continue to have progressive awakening and progressive recovery one day at a time, as we all do, as we have one day at a time of complete abstinence. Thanks for letting me share.
Sally. Thank you so much, Sally. And next up we have Sarah S. And after Sarah, followed by Christina L. Come on in, Sarah.
Hi, I'm Sarah S. I'm a compulsive overeater in Wisconsin. And thanks, everybody, for being here this morning. This, my experience has also been more of a spiritual experience than a spiritual awakening, but multiple spiritual experiences. And when I first got abstinent, I definitely had this feeling I never knew. But what I found is that I was in a lot of fear. I was seeing these kind of miracles starting to happen around me, and I wasn't doing them. And I'm used to doing everything. Like, I'm used to being in control. And I, after 100 days, lost that abstinence, and now I'm abstinent again, and I started to see that fear start to creep up again when I started to see things unfolding. And I have been taught that when I have fear, I need to ask my higher power to remove that fear and to ask what my higher power would have me be. And what came to me this time, and it's been a few weeks, and it's coming to me on a daily basis when I'm following these steps, is that I need to accept that I'm not in control of my recovery, that I need to set aside what I think I know about me and my recovery and my higher power and the people around me. And what's come for me now this time with this spiritual experience is a sense of awe. And when I do feel that fear start to come in, I am going back to ask to have that removed and to ask my higher power what they would have me be, and to have my fear become awe as I am letting go of my need to control. And it's just been a really beautiful thing. And I'm thankful for everybody's share this morning, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much. That was Sarah S. from Wisconsin. And before Christina L. comes on in, I just remind everyone that we are in Bill's story on page 14. We're on the second paragraph that starts, "These were revolutionary and drastic proposals." Reading to the end of that paragraph, "His impact on me was sudden and profound. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience also. So if you shared on either Monday or Tuesday of either meeting, we ask that you hold on." We're going to have Christina, then Roy C., and then I'm able to take more names to share. Christina, please come in and share with us.
All right. Good morning. Thank you so much for your service, Kathy. This is Christina L., a recovered compulsive overeater in Florida. Very, very grateful and just so awed by these shares. I don't even know what's going to come out of my mouth, but, you know, as I was reflecting on this paragraph, listening to everyone's shares, the word "fully" really was capturing my attention. The moment I fully accepted them, the effect was electric. You know, when I first came in almost 13 years ago, when I heard the steps being read, I thought that I fully accepted them. I think I accepted them in my head, but I really didn't have an understanding of what it truly meant to fully accept these steps, these proposals. I did the best I could. I started where I was at, and like someone else had previously shared, that recovery is progressive. Relapse or disease is also progressive, as has also been my experience. But this time, coming back, you know, I wrote at the top of this last year, actually, it doesn't mean I have to like them. I don't have to like these revolutionary and drastic proposals. I don't have to like the things that I am going through or the challenges that are being put in front of me. I just have to accept them. During my prayer and morning meditation this morning, I was reading something that where God was telling this carrot, it was a Bible thing and stuff, but you know, God was telling this person that he was going to tell him everything to do and everything to say. And that I feel is where I'm at with my creator today, is where I am turning as much as I possibly can to this Father of Light who is showing me where and when and what and how to do the next right thing. And I have had some pretty amazing spiritual awakenings. I don't know if they're spiritual experiences, but I can definitely relate to some of the description that is in here. The peace and serenity that I had never known, the utter confidence, the feeling like I was walking on air. Being able to look in another person's eyes, and that's not something that I've ever been able to do before I came into program. And I know last week I had said that, you know, God willing, I'll celebrate a year of abstinence this week. And, you know, I don't think it's God's will for me to be in relapse. I don't think it's God's will for me to break my abstinence or anything like that. It's me, whether I decide that I am going to take back my will. And for today, I do not plan on taking back my will. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share, and I hope everyone has a great day.
Thank you, Christina. Christina Elk from Florida. Next up, we have Roy C. And after Roy, I'll be able to take another lineup from page 14, the second paragraph. Come on in, Roy.
Hi, this is Roy C. from Southern New Jersey, and thanks everybody for their service this morning. A special shout out to Troy C. in Florida. What they talk about this morning is the differences in spiritual experiences, and what I got out of it is that spiritual experience is individual for everyone. Bill talked about his being a sudden bolt type of experience that happened just like suddenly and utterly. Mine is much different. It's been over many, many years spiritual experiences and recovery has happened. And it grows stronger each day, you know, as I find that God affects my life in different ways, you know, and guides me to do the right thing one day at a time. And I'm getting better at it each day. I'm not perfect by any means, if I keep coming back and I'm more accepting, I don't have to travel all over the world to find spiritual experiences. I can find them right here in my home. I've found that out. And one of the beautiful things that's happening today is how you will be able to see spiritual experiences and hear them from all over the world. Just this morning, we're hearing from Arizona and Italy and Florida and New Jersey, of all places. And some places it's warm and some places it's cold. God works in mysterious ways. And on that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much. That's Roy C. from New Jersey. I'm now ready to take another lineup. If you haven't shared on Monday or Tuesday of either meeting, please wait if you have. And we are on page 14, the second paragraph. Who'd like to share with us?
Anita L.
Okay, who came in before? I'm sorry, I just have Anita.
Tony
and Nadia.
Nadia E.
Oh, thank you, Tony. Okay, I have Tony B, Nadia E, Anita, Devorah. I could take one more name.
Kelsey C.
Anita J.
I'll put you there, Anita, after Chelsea, so we'll see if we can catch you in, okay? So first up, I'm sorry, guys. We have Tony B and then Nadia E.
Kimberly.
Come on in, Tony.
Kimberly K.
Tony?
Kathy, thank you. My name's Tony B. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Scotland. And thank you so much to the first share and everybody who shared. Very grateful to be recovered just for today. And here among you, my family. So Bill's experience, I think it needed to be big for Bill because well, I don't know, God wanted to get his attention, I guess. And he's going to do amazing things, this man. Without him, without somebody like him with the drive and the talent to, you know, all the writings he did and all of the thought in terms of inspiration, I should say, inspiration in terms of the, well, all of it, but the traditions particularly, you know, God wanted to use this man. I think God really did want to use this man. And he made this huge impact on him at this moment. And, you know, it does go on to say that this, after it was after this huge impact that God had on him that he thinks, I'm going to carry this, you know, he has the thought, you know, that this is what he wants to do with his life. And, you know, it's thanks to him that we're here. And yeah, we all get what we need in terms of this awakening. But for Bill and for me too, it's not a one and done. You know, he suffers through his life with depression, with different things, with, you know, obviously there was probably some marital strain, etc., and soul searching and things that he goes through. And we must work this program. We must work these steps. We must turn our thoughts to others. We must clear away what builds up so that we can get that contact with God on a daily basis. And no, like, one experience is going to cure us. That's it. It's a day. I wake up in the morning with untreated compulsive overeating, and I need to say, I'm a real compulsive overeater. Dear God, I need your help. You know, I know that when I try and run it myself, it goes pretty wildly wrong. And so I'm going to turn my will and my life over to you. My first three conclusions of the mind come in, you know, have to be there. And then the steps come in through the day. So thank you for letting me share. And with that, I pass. I love you all.
Thank you. That was Tony B from Scotland. Next up, we have Nadia E, followed by Anita. Nadia, come on and share with us, please.
Good morning. Thank you, Kathy. Thank you for suiting up and showing up, even though you're not feeling 100%. That's amazing service. And good morning, family. I'm a very grateful compulsive overeater, recovered today by the grace of God. My name is Nadia E from Toronto, Canada. And yeah, so spiritual awakening and like the flash, you know, the big thing. It came to me, like my first meeting, I went home and that was a spiritual awakening. But then the big thing that happened, I was taking a course. I was taking a reflexology course years ago, like 25 years ago. And after the course, I just, like, my heart was exploding. Just being of service and helping somebody and learning and I went into this forest and I just felt like something, like I just felt it's the sunbeam and the beautiful little, like the leaves, the glistening, all, but everything was out of this world. It was like the color and just feeling elated. And I just thought, this is God. Like, I cannot, you have to experience something like this. And then this connection with your higher power builds, and then you trust it. And then the next day you go, I can't do this. This is too much. This is overwhelming, these difficulties in my life. But then I go, okay, but yesterday, God helped me. So maybe it'll happen again today. And then I get on my knees. I say, okay, God, I surrender. I cannot do this. You help me. Come into my heart, my soul, my mind. You know, and bless all the people all over the world. that we may feel you and know you today. And then it happens. And then I can share it. And I can continue on this path. Ah, with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. That was Nadi E. from Canada. Next up, we have Anita, followed by Devorah. Anita, will you come in and share with us, please?
Yes. Good morning, everybody. This is Anita L. I live outside of Philadelphia area in Pennsylvania. I love this paragraph. I think every year I share on this paragraph. Because I also had a spiritual experience, and it was profound. And it was sudden only because I was in total desperation. I didn't know how to handle a life situation. It wasn't the food, because I am pretty positive. Like, I would vouch to say 100% positive that I was abstinent and working the steps at that time. So we're talking 1979, I believe. I came into OA in 78. And what happened was I was driving down a major road crying, not knowing how to handle life. I didn't know what to do. And all of a sudden, I swear, God, guys, I swear this happened to me. All of a sudden, I mean, I am crying, I'm driving, so I had to pay attention to the road. But, and all of a sudden, the thought popped into my mind. In no way. They say, let go and let God. And right then, you guys, I needed and wanted, that's a major word, I wanted God. And I didn't want God when I first came into this program. As a matter of fact, when I was 16 or 17, probably 17, my mother's friend told her that this program might help me. And when I asked a friend about it, she said, well, they talk about God there. I went to a meeting and I said, forget that, I'm not going. And I needed to eat for 6 more years. And when I was 23, I came into OA, not knowing anything about it, just wanting another diet. However, I stayed and I listened and I did work the steps. And I even started a meeting at that point and more in the future to carry the message. That was the only reason why, because it helped me so much. But God came to me and I just knew I needed to be with God right then. And the only place my immature mind at that point in my life knew to be with God was in my religious synagogue. And so I went to a synagogue. I wasn't a member. And
that time, Anita?
Thank you. I prayed and surrendered, and God came, as did many miracles after. So thank you very much. And thank you, God, for leading me to OA and OA leading me to you. Okay, I passed. Thank you
so much, Anita. Thank you. That was Anita L. from Pennsylvania. Next up, we have Devorah, followed by Chelsea. Come on in, Devorah.
Hi, it's Devorah B. from New Jersey. Can you hear me?
We hear you well.
Okay. Thank you so much, everyone, for this meeting. I'm really enjoying the shares. I love this paragraph. I feel like when it says a great clean wind of a mountain blew through and through. So for me, I just imagine myself with a lot of self-will in me. And then the wind of the mountain can't blow through because it just hits me. And I'm just like a rock of my own will trying to get things done myself without my creator. So it just can't blow through and through. But then if I if I, you know, sort of become riddled with humility, and there's like the wind can blow through because I can let it in, and I can, you know, sort of make perforations and make holes in my self-will and let God blow through me. In the morning, my biggest challenge is always one of my children. It's really challenging in the morning. Doesn't want to get out of bed. Doesn't want to get dressed. And, you know, when it's me against him and it's my self-will, so then the great wind can blow through me and I start feeling very tight inside. And I know that tightness means that I need to stop and pause and surrender the situation over to him. Accept and surrender. I was raised in a wonderful religious home with, you know, half the day in school was devoted to religious studies. And I always felt a very close connection with God and I always turned to him. But it wasn't until OA that I learned that it's not just turning to him and asking for things, but it's also asking him, what should I do now? I have to write a goal every day. So my goal for today was, I love having to-do lists, and I live with my lists every day, that before each item on the list, before I start accomplishing it, to ask God, is this what you want me to do now? Should I do something else? Is this the right thing? And actually turning to God, not just asking him for different things that I want. So I don't feel like I'm recovered. I feel like my spiritual experience is very, very gradual. But I'm getting there little by little and having these moments of being completely at peace with myself, my life, my creator, and my fellows, my family. And I appreciate this meeting. With this, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Devorah. That's Devorah B. from New Jersey. And next up, we have Chelsea. Come on in, Chelsea.
Hi, this is Kelsey C. from California.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, now it's Kelsey C. from California. Come on in.
All right, thank you. Some of you have heard my story. My story was sort of like Bill's. I was struck with abstinence and food sobriety about 2 years ago. I'm relatively new to OA. I never heard of the 12 steps before I walked into an OA meeting. And my sponsor said to listen to a vision for you. So I've been doing that. And thank you all. Your encouragement and your stories have helped me tremendously. Even though I was struck, every day I need to surrender. Every day I need to turn my will, my stubborn will over to God and be of service and keep that channel clear, keep my character defects in check and calling fellows about that. But the main thing I learned is that God is always there. You know, I may go in and out of my relationship with God, but God is always there. God, even in the past when I was angry at God, God was there. So when I surrender, it was a total surrender. And but every day I must renew my relationship with God so that I may be of service to others and help others. And the joy and peace and love that I experience today is so different. My life has completely changed. And I just want to urge everyone, especially those that are having difficulties, to stick with the program and call people and remember to talk with God and not only talk with God, but listen to God. And that's all I have, and I want to thank everyone for their service. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much. That was Kelsey C. from California. Anita J., we have 1 minute. Would you like to take that 1 minute?
How fast can I talk? I guess I wanted to say about surprise. There was a book called Surprised by Joy. And That's how I felt this last time. I was coming up with another strategy to get abstinent again. And I was going to do this and that, and I heard loud and clear, you know, no human strategy is going to get you anywhere. It is only through me. And the cover of Surprised by Joy, the guy is on one knee with his eyes head down because he can feel God speaking to him like that. That's how I felt. I'm back again to the person. I'm more on God's side because he was always on mine. And so with that, I pass. Thank you, Kathy.
I'm glad you got in, Anita. Thank you for bringing us out. That was Anita J., I think from Massachusetts. And thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us in a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following today's close. Today's share ID for Wednesday, January 21st, is 23,142. That is 23142. We're now going to close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Tony B., will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.